The second source, which I think is good to know about, is CAD Maps and Records. CAD, of course, stands for County Appraisal Districts. And everyone knows you can look up a client's real estate holdings in a county by searching their name. But what's really helpful are these interactive maps that have come a long way in the last 5 years that allow you to search for a property, click on it, get the deed history, the owner history, and it can be extremely helpful. We had a matter just a couple months ago where we had a corporate trustee, got some keys to a property, but we couldn't find for the life of us any records of where the deceased person bought the property. Well, we went over to the CAD maps, clicked on the property, and it popped up the deed history, and we're able to go to that volume and page number reference, and we found our client, not the client, the deceased person. You know, they had been listed by their first initial instead of their first name, and so they weren't coming up on the index, but it was a super helpful shortcut to get us the documents we need as opposed to thumbing through the grantor-grantee index. The next one kind of goes without saying, online recorded documents. The days of going to the county clerk's office are kind of over. In fact, I hardly even ask my clients to bring us copies of deeds because I find by the time I write them an email and they say, you know, okay, what deed are you looking for? And I respond, it's faster to just go online and get them. And if I can save a half hour of my time, in exchange for paying this website $12 for copies of several deeds, our clients usually come out way ahead. And the last is CLE libraries. So I'll kind of use this as a sales pitch. If you haven't joined Reptil yet, Reptil is a fantastic organization by itself, but one of the great benefits is access to their extensive CLE library. And if you're dealing with a real estate issue especially, someone's probably got a great article about it, and you can go read that article, get a good overview, and it will point you to the primary sources you need to go look at. And there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And if you don't join Reptil, you can always think about the Texas Bar College, which also gives you free access to a different database, which is the Texas Bar CLE database. So next, let's talk about creating a game plan. And I wanted to talk about this briefly because I think it's very different in real estate compared to, you know, trust planning or elder law planning or tax planning, because when I'm doing some trust planning or tax planning, we're going to go very slow and make sure we get every single detail correct. Because if you mess up a small thing in a trust, you might, you know, blow a special needs trust, or you might accidentally trigger some GST tax or do something else that can cause big repercussions down the road. And while we need to be careful with real estate, often we're more focused on results than formalities. So when you're faced with a real estate issue, I think it's good to slow down and say, okay, who are we trying to satisfy? You know, for instance, if in 8 times out of 10, it's going to be the title company. If the title company is who we're trying to satisfy, we're not maybe necessarily so worried about other aspects of the problem. For instance, we might be okay using an affidavit of heirship because that's what a title company will accept, even though it's not really good evidence for our clients if they ever wanted to show that they owned it. Next is to talk about identifying the issues and only answering the questions that are asked. You don't want to go and answer questions that aren't asked when title issues or real estate problems are in questions, because they just may lead to more and more questions. A good example of this is going back to accidentally providing or providing a copy of the full trust. Well, if you do that, that can sometimes lead the title company to read the trust, maybe misunderstand the trust, and then have more questions. An example of this that I've dealt with recently is if you have clients who maybe had a revocable trust, maybe a joint revocable trust, even though they're not good ideas. I listened to the prior presentation, but say you have a joint revocable trust and they didn't do the split when the first spouse died. Now the second spouse has died and the kids are just deeding stuff out of that, you know, initial pot. Well, if you give them a full copy of the trust, the title company might come back and say, hey, whoa, we're supposed to have a bypass trust and a marital trust, and you're going to spend a lot of time explaining things to them. Whereas if you had just given them a trust summary or something else that the title examination standards might have pointed out, you could avoid some of those extra questions. The next one's pretty obvious, but get the green light on your curative work before you get it done. You don't want to spend 5 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours working on a curative issue only to find that the underwriter's not going to accept it. So always, you know, tell them what you're going to do before you do it. Make sure it's going to work. And the last is, cover yourself. So backing up, if we're talking about focusing on results rather than formalities, then necessarily there's going to be some catches to that. For instance, going back to the affidavit of heirship, you know, the catch is, hey, client, this is great to get the property sold, you know, but if an unknown heir shows up, you're still going to be on the hook for their portion of the proceeds that you took without giving them their portion. So always, if you're going to take, you know, not necessarily a shortcut, but if you're going to focus on results rather than formalities, make sure you tell your client about the risks and what may come back to bite them down.